It's time to welcome Alice Walker for Arts News. Hello, Alice.
Hi, Sarah.
And there's quite a bit happening at the not-for-profit literary journal Overland at the moment, some good and some not so good.
Overland is one of the 250 artists and organisations that did not make it through the Expressions of Interest round for the next four-year cycle of Australia Council funding. Since 2017, Overland has been receiving $80,000 per year from the Australia Council, but that funding is due to run out at the end of next year. Outgoing editor Jacinda Woodhead said it's a disappointing decision that wasn't really explained.
Look, honestly, there were no reasons. The reasons were literally, we like what you do, but we don't know why you need four-year funding to do it. And so like, I think this lack of funding has led to a culture where funding bodies and not continuing to fund small to medium arts organisations to do the very critical work that we do and work that we were funded to do in the last funding round. And as a result, it's ending up in a culture of rewarding one-off projects that are funded for novelty purposes. I think that's a really dangerous situation where smaller arts organisations will end up proposing something new and they will be funded to do this new thing, which is, of course, really important and something I absolutely think we should continue to do. But it means that once that thing has been done once, it's almost impossible for it to continue being funded because the next thing has to be bigger and newer.
Some tough decisions for Overland to make, but on the plus side, Overland's getting some new editors. But how will they cope?
Yeah. Jacinda Woodhead finishes up as editor at the end of the year, though she will stay on the magazine's board, and her replacements have just been announced. Evelyn Araluen-Core and Jonathan Dunk will be taking over. They're both writers and poets connected to the University of Sydney. And Woodhead says, look, their jobs will be made harder as they apply for project funding and other grants, but she says the magazine will survive and she's confident in the new leadership. And Overland runs a number of literary prizes too. One of those is the Victoria University Short Story Prize for Emerging Writers, which was announced this week as well. Sydney-based writer Joyce Chu has won the top $6,000 prize, and runners-up Jack Verning and Laura Alvery take home $1,000 each. All three winning stories will be published in Overland's spring issue.
Look forward to reading them and congratulations to them. Now, the Australia Council Expressions of Interest round isn't actually the only recent funding news, Alice.
Yeah, with all this talk of who's missed out on Australia Council funding, you may have missed the not-for-profit Copyright Agency Cultural Fund's latest funding round. More than $500,000 in grants has been awarded to 25 projects, so that includes events, publications, residencies, development programs and awards as well. This round includes funding for next year's Miles Franklin Award, the State Library of Queensland's Black and Right Editor Training Program, UWA Publishing's Dorothy Hewitt Award for an unpublished manuscript, and Sydney Review of Books Emerging Critics Fellowship. So you can find a link to the full list on the Bookshow website.
Some really important programs there. Finally, the rise of the feature library has prompted a warning. A feature library, Alice.
Yeah, there's a $40 million library opening in Marrickville in Sydney's Inner West on Saturday, and it looks like it's going to be pretty impressive. It's three times bigger than the old library, and it will have a landscaped outdoor garden, a playground, a cafe, and a full-size catering kitchen for events. And you may have seen other big library projects near you, these big, impressive, architecturally designed libraries, and there's a lot of value for the community in them. But a researcher from the University of Melbourne says, because they're managed by local governments, they don't get the strategic planning attention that state government areas like schools and hospitals do.
Oh, I see.
So Dr. Danielle Wyatt has warned this lack of oversight means libraries may not be going where they're most needed. She's concerned that library centralisation may not be the best thing for communities that use their local libraries for things like digital access, childhood literacy programs and workspaces. Here she is speaking to ABC Sydney.
Is it actually necessary that everyone have access to this, you know, stellar architect design library with recording studios and, you know, spaces for business meetings and, you know, and everything? As these libraries attract all of that attention and they attract that attention for all of their fancy facilities, we might be losing sight of the value of, you know, the old style suburban library that, you know, exists in proximity to your house, that your children can walk to safely, that you know, that you just go to sit and relax and borrow a few books. You know, that may well be sufficient for a lot of people. And are we seeing this sort of transition away from that as councils feel the need to, you know, invest in these eye-catching developments? You know, that's an open question. So that's not a criticism, that is something that I think needs to be explored.
Oh, interesting questions around what our libraries are for. Mm-hmm. I definitely use our local library all the time.
Good on you.
Thanks very much, Alice Walker. Alice there with Arts News.